Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Talk about sports.
I like it.
Sweet. Thanks, buddy.
The weekends in the ATL are busy, and there's always plenty of sports to talk about.
Radio on the weekends.
And that's what we're going to do.
Hell yes, we are.
This is the ATL Show, keeping you up to date on all the sports in Atlanta and beyond.
Sports don't stop, even on the weekends. The ATL Show with Abe Gordon is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Abe.
Welcome in Sunday afternoon. It is the Abe TL Show live from the Kia Studios, taking you till 5 o'clock and getting you set for the start of football season. That's right. I know the record isn't going to change for a couple of weeks, but football season is here because Falcons training camp is right around the corner. We've obviously got a couple of days before things get going there in Flowery Branch, but it is the week in which the players will report and get started. It is the week in which 92.9 The Game will be there, and we will have full coverage for you. And it's my last show before the start of training camp, which, again, is Wednesday morning. And so I've got a lot of different discussions in regards to the Atlanta Falcons that we are going to get to throughout the course of the show. It's not going to be all Falcons. We've got a couple of other discussions to be had as well. We got in a couple of minutes, Braden Gall, in about 20 minutes, Braden Gall of Athlon Sports is going to join me, chat about what we've seen at SEC Media Days, what could come at ACC Media Days, and other top stories across the college football landscape. We're also going to chat with Caleb Johnson about Summer League and 0-5. 0-5 for the Atlanta Hawks. Certainly disappointing, but not as disappointing as the fact that we only saw Zachary Risacher for two games, and we only saw Kobe Bufkin for none of those games, and Nikola Jurišić for just one game and then 7 minutes of game number two. So a lot going on there. We're going to go outside the perimeter. We're going to talk about the big list that captivated some, not all, over the past week, and that is ESPN's top 100 athletes list since the year 2000. I have some thoughts, as you might imagine. I do have some thoughts, especially as we're on the precipice of the Olympics. Some interesting thoughts coming your way. So we'll get through it, all of it, as we work our way through the show. Here's the one thing I do want to remind you when we get to the Falcons discussion in regards to training camp, and this is different than in years past, is the responsibility that we have here at 92.9 The Game to bring you Falcons training camp coverage, because unlike in recent years, because of construction going on at Flowery Branch, media is going to be there, but the fans will not, with the exception of a pair of publicly opened practices away from the Flowery Branch facility. So we are going to be, and I feel like we say it often in regards to we'll be your eyes and ears, but never before have we meant it quite literally. We will be your eyes and ears out there at training camp. And so, look, I've got a list of a bunch of things that I'm going to be looking out for, and we're going to get to that at about 3:20. But I also want to open up the phones, and we're going to post this on Twitter early as well and maybe get some. What do you want us to look for on your behalf at training camp? Again, I've got a full list, and so I don't want to take too many calls before I get to my list, or else you're just going to start checking boxes off what I'm already looking for. I mean, look, there are some things we know we're going to be looking for. Some of the position battles at safety and cornerback, all right? You don't have to suggest that. We got that one covered. Some of the rookies, especially the ones along the defensive front, how are they looking? Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix, there are going to be some stuff we're all going to be looking for. But there might be a couple things that you want us to look for that maybe we wouldn't otherwise. And so we are going to give you the opportunity to share some thoughts on that a little bit later in the show. Again, Falcons training camp starts on Wednesday. I'm excited to be there. Like, it's one of those things where every year, and just like a little peek behind the curtain, every year I'm excited for like 2 days, and then I get there that third day, I'm like, I can't believe I got to watch these guys stretch for an hour. And they, because you got to remember, my show, we only see an early portion of practice before we got to, like, dial in and focus on the show. So we see him stretch and do some light running, stuff like that. We go into the show. We miss most of the practice. we're sitting out there in the sun. At least this year, because of the construction where we're going to be, it's not going to be miserably hot from the broadcast booth because we'll be indoors. So that's like a bonus. But I'll be honest, it is a treat every single year to get up there. It's a little bit of a pain on the drive back. The drive back feels like it's longer than it needs to be. There's traffic building up on 85 South, and I don't like it. But we make do. We make do. So very honored to be in coverage there, along with the whole cast and crew. I mean, you've got Morning Shift is going to be their steakhouse. My guys, Andy and Randy, I'll be up there with them. You'll have Dukes of Bell in attendance as well. So a lot of coverage coming your way starting on Wednesday, like we always do. I mean, if there's a guy on the Falcons, we're probably going to talk to him. You know, I'm not going to suggest necessarily every single player. I don't remember if we talked with Desmond Ridder last year. Sometimes the team tries to protect its own. I understand that. But, yeah, I'm hopeful. You know, I'm hopeful day one we get to speak with Raheem and Terry Fontenot like we have done in the past. It would be nice to get Penix on. It'd be nice to get Kirk Cousins on. Certainly, we'll run the gamut with Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, I would imagine, the linemen, Jake Matthews, I'm sure, A.J. Terrell, Jesse Pitt. I mean, look, we got a bunch of shows, and we're going to talk to a bunch of different players every day. So, I mean, we got what? A 53-man roster that's 46 active on game day. I would bet we talk to 30 of them. Young Weku counts. We'll talk to him one day. And so very excited for Falcons training camp. A little less excited of the Braves news that we heard a bit earlier today, and that was that Max Fried is going to be placed on the 15-day IL with forearm neuritis. And look, it's an ulnar nerve issue, okay? It is an ulnar nerve issue, and that should give you a little bit of the willies anytime you hear about that. But, and I don't know if he would say this anyways or if he's saying it just to say it, Brian Snicker did call the results their best-case scenario. I'm frustrated, not necessarily because we have to deal with Max Fried being injured, not necessarily because now the pressure is back. We've kind of built ourselves over the last 10 days to this spot where, like, maybe Alex Anthopoulos doesn't need to add someone. Now we're back in motion where, like, yeah, no, you definitely need to add a pitcher. Like just in case, because we don't know what's going on there. And we've also seen some injuries be one thing, and then eventually it's like, oh, never mind, he's having Tommy John. We're like, wait, what happened to, like, 10 days off and he's good to go? We've seen that. What I'm frustrated by is Max Fried felt it before his outing in the All-Star game and decided to pitch anyways. That's what's most frustrating to me. And I'm not saying it would not be an issue if he had just sat that outing out. Maybe it would still be a problem. I would have preferred to find out that way. It's an All-Star game, man. Like, you pitched well. Great. Was it worth going on the 15-day IL for? To be fair, if one of those other bum NL relievers didn't blow the game, Max Fried might have picked up a win, but that's all right. But I would have preferred if he had sat out, and that's what's really frustrating about this for me. And we'll never know. Like, we certainly can't blame it on the fact that he had it felt not right going into that outing. But, like, it's an All-Star game, man. Like, every team would have said, yeah, you don't need to do this. It's all good. So the Braves are unfortunately going to deal with that. They're also dealing with a 1-0 deficit right now. Spencer Schwellenbach, who has been very good recently, he is on the mound. He did give up a solo home run to Paul Goldschmidt, but it's been pretty decent otherwise. He's in his third inning of work right now. We'll keep an eye on this game as we go through it. The Braves dropped game one yesterday. Excuse me, they won game one yesterday in the doubleheader, but dropped game two. And there's another aspect to this which is frustrating, as Spencer Schwellenbach has given up. I thought that ball was foul, but it looks like they're calling it a fair ball and a home run. Tell me you're not serious without telling me you're not serious. Like, that's what starting Bryce Elder does for me. Like, starting Bryce Elder yesterday, because you didn't have to. Your pitchers are on regular timeline, right? Like, you already had a guy that was going to start Saturday, and you already had a guy that was going to start Friday. They could have just started Friday, Saturday. But you chose to take advantage of the rule which allows an extra man to be called up for a doubleheader. And you start Bryce Elder. Okay? Again, tell me you're not serious about chasing down the Phillies without telling me you're not serious about chasing down the Phillies. Because starting Bryce Elder tells me you're not serious about chasing down the Phillies. And by the way, I'm fine with that. I just want y'all to know that's what's happening. Like I've said for a couple weeks now, I don't think they're going to chase down the Phillies. I think they're comfortable rolling into the playoffs as a wild card and going at it from there. But the Phillies lost on Friday night. They lost on Saturday. You had picked up one game to get to 7.5. If you had won the Bryce Elder start, it would have been 6.5, I believe. And it's not. And so now we're sitting here where I still find it tough to believe you're going to chase down the Phillies. But I just don't need to see Bryce Elder in something that's not a true emergency spot start. I really don't. They called up Dylan Dodd to replace Max Fried. We'll see where that goes. And Ian Anderson, working his way up still. He's not ready yet, but he is at AAA. He is with the Gwinnett Stripers. He pitched an okay outing yesterday. But again, kind of like the Hawks Summer League and the Falcons preseason. Right now, it's about getting the reps for Ian Anderson. I'm not overly concerned with did he give up some hits, did he give up some runs. Just get the pitch count up, and then we'll focus on dialing in what needs to be dialed in. Atlanta United last night. I can't believe I sat there and watched it. A crazy result, considering the expectations, considering how poorly the second half went on Wednesday night when you had a two-goal lead. You come back from down 1-0 against the Columbus Crew, who is pretty much widely regarded as the best team in MLS right now, despite their standings in the table at third in the Eastern Conference. Everyone has told me that they're the best team in the MLS, and you go down a goal, 1-0, and find a way to claw back into it. Steon Gregerson with a header goal off of a corner kick, and he enjoyed the celebration the first time so much, he decided to score a second one, and he did. And he was just a couple of minutes ago named to MLS Team of the Match Day, and not that that's a surprise. I was talking with Garrett Chapman, my partner there for the Five Stripes Countdown on the full-time report. I said, he's got to be. I know maybe that, like, for a defensive, a defensive player, a center back, maybe the goal doesn't like push him to the top. Maybe there's other guys that perform the defensive duties to a standard, but come on, he's got to be, and he was. So congratulations there to Steon Gregerson. A little bit of other quick note. The Atlanta Open is underway there at Atlantic Station. I was driving by, saw the qualifying matches getting going. A decent little crowd today before the rain moves in. So round one will start tomorrow. And Alicia Gray, WNBA All-Star Skills Competition champion. And then follow it up like an hour later by winning the three-point shootout. She's the first ever WNBAer to win the skills competition and the three-point shootout in the same night. So we saw her perform there at WNBA All-Star. We also saw her teammate, Ryan Howard, as part of the 3x3 showcase as they get prepared for the Olympics. So there you go. We'll have more on the WNBA All-Star game when we go outside the perimeter. But when we come back, going to be joined by my buddy Braden Gall. He's been covering college sports, specifically college football, for a long, long time. He's going to talk about he was there. He was in Dallas there with SEC Media Days, and we'll talk about that and some of the other top stories across the sport as well. That's coming up next. It is the Abe TL Show, live from the Kia Studios here on Sunday afternoon on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Back to Abe Gordon with the Abe TL Show.
Believe it. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We want to see you with it. Show could treat you right. Give me just a minute of your time tonight. We both are here to have big fun. So let it rip.
Welcome back in the Abe TL ABTL Show live here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Quick Braves update. Jared Kelnick hit a solo home run trying to keep the Braves in touch. But it is a 2-1 deficit. All three runs scored via solo home run today against the Cardinals in the rubber match of this series. It's been a big week for football. We talked about it. Falcons training camp is coming. Pretty much all the training camps are coming. Some are already underway. We saw Patrick Mahomes dump one deep earlier today. So and football is here. But football is here in the college football sense as well. And I was talking earlier this week. It feels like media days is like the first step of the start of college football season. Similarly to how games aren't being played yet, it feels like all the other stuff is in the past, and now we're actually talking about football. So to continue doing that, we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and bring on Braden Gall of Athlon Sports, ESPN Radio, also 440 Sports, among others. Braden, how are you doing, brother? I know it's been a busy week with SEC Media Days.
I'm doing great, man. Just enjoying a Sunday afternoon. Don't tell me about the British Open. I've got it recorded. The wife and I are going to sit down and watch it. So no spoiler alert there. Otherwise, it's been a great week. Yeah, very busy.
All right. Well, I know it's over, but I'll spoil that for everyone else at 4 o'clock when we go outside the perimeter. I'll keep it a secret for you. All right. So the SEC Media Days, a couple of things I liked, a couple of things I didn't like in regards to the coaches. I want to see what stood out to you from SEC Media Days. Kalen DeBoer seemed to get kind of mixed results. Some people loved it. Some people aren't sold. I really like the fact personally that Sam Pittman is just attacking this hot seat discussion head on. I mean, I love that. Like, we don't need to pretend it's not there. What left their mark in your eyes from the week there in Texas?
I don't want to sound like a total downer here, but like really nothing. Because I think the actual most interesting part is that we are probably going to have the most interesting season in the history of the SEC. We have 7 or 8 All-American caliber quarterbacks. We've got probably 8 or 9 potential first round picks at quarterback. We've got probably 7 or 8 teams vying for spots in the SEC championship game and playoff spots, no divisions, 2 new teams and a 12 team playoff all in the same year. It is unprecedented how good the football is going to be on Saturdays. And after talking to folks all week, players, coaches, media, I sort of left Dallas thinking like, oh, like the season can't come fast enough because the real story here is how exciting the games should be. I thought at the beginning of the week you had Lane Kiffin I think Lane Kiffin and Kirby Smart understand that with Jim Harbaugh and Nick Saban gone from college football, that there's sort of this vacuum and that Kirby Smart has the best program in college football and he's sort of taking over for Nick Saban. He spoke to that a lot and that he understands his spot in the game a little bit more. And then Lane Kiffin, very emotional about the passing of his father and about the chance that Nick Saban took on him personally when he got hired, you know, many, many years ago to work for Alabama and the Nick Saban rehabilitation clinic. So Kirby understands that he's now the top, no pun intended, dog. And I think Lane Kiffin understands that he is the Jim Harbaugh personality, that they are gravitational planets that attract attention and conversation. And I think they're sort of maturing and growing into those roles. Sam Pittman is such a good dude. I don't think it's going to stop him from maybe losing his job midseason and the shadow of Bobby Petrino hanging over him on a roster that has major problems. But I agree. I think Sam Pittman's been as honest every step. Even last year, he's like, well, you know, I understand that there's a conversation about my job and the offensive line's not good enough. And like, he's an offensive line coach talking about his own future. So I agree. It's refreshing to hear him speak like that, but that's not any different than he's always been. And so I agree. I respect him a lot for that. Ultimately, the players are great. The players are the story. Talked to a lot of players, talked to almost every one of them. All the quarterbacks are interesting. Jalen Milroe talked about dealing with, you know, the struggle and the adversity of last year and how it drives him. Brady Cook, the struggle and the adversity and how many the injuries in the 6-6 seasons led to last year's breakout from Missouri. You know, Quinn Ewers, same thing. Like, all these quarterbacks, Graham Mertz, same thing. It's the players are great, but ultimately I think the games are going to be great. The football itself is going to be unprecedented. And my takeaway, just kind of being there all week, was like, games can't come soon enough because I think all the garbage we worry about, media fans, NIL, you know, house, you know, lawsuits and, you know, settlements. All that stuff goes out the window when the game kicks off, and I think we're going to have just extraordinary football every single Saturday.
Braden Gall of Athlon Sports and ESPN Radio joining us here on the APTL show, chatting about college football, SEC Media Days taking place this past week, ACC Media Days just about to start. Braden, Kirby Smart here, obviously the issues within the program. I know he addressed it with the local media in a separate discussion. Were you surprised that he didn't address it at the podium? And then on top of that, the national media didn't seem to ask him about it.
Well, so I will say that since I know a lot of them, there's only a handful of quote-unquote national media folk in the room. If there's 100 of us, let's say, in there, it's, you know, 7 people from Tuscaloosa, 4 people from Fayetteville, 9 people from Lexington. Columbia's got 12 people in there. Like, there's not a lot of, like, and you know, the Pat Fortys and the Ralph Russos and the Ross Dellingers and the Andy Staples, like, there's just not a lot of those guys in there. But you're completely right. I think he got away. He got off very easy in the main room. He did address specifically that they're fining players now for these incidents, which we're not yet exactly sure if that means they're withholding NIL money or if actually, you know, imposing a fine. Those are they're two slightly different things, right? But it's kind of in the same boat. That's what the NFL would do. It has to rise to a pretty serious level to get suspended by the NFL, but they will fine you a large amount of money for your mistakes, but that's because the players make a large amount of money. So I think what Kirby has to – I still don't know if Kirby – and I was talking to a couple of guys who live in Athens who cover the team, and they're like, yeah, but that doesn't help me when I'm driving around Athens. You know, like, I live there. I drive my car. I'm glad that someone's getting punished for this, but, like, I have to be on the roads with my kids too, and I'm concerned about this. He hasn't answered that question. Like, okay, you fine somebody. Okay, you suspend somebody. Whatever the punishment is, I've got 2 kids. Like, the punishment has to work. And if it doesn't work and we have more and more and more problems on the roads, like, it's still endangering people in the community and on the team. And I'll be very clear. I talked to a lot of people from a lot of other teams. This is not just a Georgia problem. You cannot give a 19-year-old male a 600 horsepower and expect them to drive 45 miles an hour. That is not a thing that's going to happen in any other city in the SEC. I know for a fact it's a problem elsewhere. So it's a problem. You got to get your hands on it. You got to control it. You got to figure it out. And I don't know if Kirby Smart still years later has acknowledged, like, that he has complete control over the decision-making process from the athlete standpoint. So it's just a story that's ongoing. We got to monitor it. We got to keep an eye on it. I don't think it's unique to Athens. I think it's more prevalent there because they're the best and you get more of a spotlight and more good players. But at the end of the day, aka worth more money, I don't know if he's actually solved any of the problems. And I think that's the concern is, hey, sure, you can fine them. You can take money away. Can you suspend them? Like, what's the thing that will change the behavior? And sometimes you just don't know what's going to change the behavior. But he definitely gave us that. I don't know what that counts for.
Braden Gall was at the SEC Media Days. He's joining us here on the APTL show, breaking it all down, sharing some thoughts. Braden, I've known you for a long time. You know I'm a Florida fan. The Billy Napier situation at quarterback is so interesting to me. Obviously, he's heaping praise on Graham Mertz, but DJ Lagway is right there. And is this a situation where you see Florida potentially running a 2-quarterback system at times during the season?
Yes, but it's not a 2-quarterback system in, like, the Spurrier sense.
Right, it's not flipping quarterbacks for a full series. Some sets, I guess.
This is Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. This is Anthony Richardson a couple years ago. Like, Graham Mertz is a starting quarterback, and I'm willing to bet you will take 90% of the pass attempts this year. What you are doing is you're designing and implementing some sets, some situations, and some plays where both quarterbacks know that DJ Lagway is going to get some run. And when he does that, he is being prepared for next season. But there is no way that Graham Mertz is not the best way to win games today. So, like, I posted some comments, like, Graham Mertz was completely effusive in his praise of DJ Lagway. Like, not only is he a great athlete, He is a, I think he told, I think he said fantastic human being, like multiple times. And he praised his desire to learn and his ability to sort of get acclimated and to, like, you know, understand the people around him, like just completely overwhelmingly praised DJ Lagway in our conversations. And that does not mean he is a better, more efficient quarterback than Graham. Graham Mertz is one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the conference last year. So the conversation that he's losing his job to DJ Lagway, DJ Lagway would have to be a Hall of Famer for that to happen. That's possible, I guess. But ultimately, my expectation is Graham Mertz is probably going to, if you get, I don't know, if you get like 15 series in a game, my expectation is that Graham Mertz probably plays 3 of them. DJ may get one or two each game. And some games he might get more when they're blowing somebody out, and some games he might get less if it's down to the wire. But ultimately, he is there to learn and grow and get better and get experience for next year. I actually think Florida is going to be better than people think. I think Billy Napier gets, like, I think they're good enough for him to get an extension at the end of the year. Everyone's talking about 4.5 wins and getting fired. I don't think that's even close to happening. I think there's a chance they win 7 games and that people are excited about Lagway for next year. But the only way they get 7 wins is if Graham Mertz is your starting quarterback, you know, barring injury or whatever. So I think the offense, it's the best roster Billy Napier's had at Florida, I think, of any of the years he's been there. I think he went and hired the right coach on defense and Roberts to take over to kind of help Austin Armstrong. They've got some questions on, you know, there's holes like everybody's got. Like, you look at all these teams in the SEC, not a lot of questions on the offense. You know, Alabama, Tennessee, LSU, Missouri, Ole Miss, go down the line, Texas even. All the questions are on the defensive side of the ball. It's secondary and defensive line for Texas. Questions on Alabama's defense. It's, you know, Missouri's defense losing all that NFL talent. It's all LSU secondary problems, Florida problems on defense. Everybody has really good quarterback play and really good offenses. And I think we're in for again, back to the original question, I think we're going to have a great offensive and fun season. Does Florida win a couple games they're not supposed to? My guess is yes. Is that A&M at home, Miami at home, maybe LSU, maybe Ole Miss late in the season at home? I think they win a couple of those games they're not supposed to, and they have a better season than people think. Graham Mertz is your starting quarterback, and Lagway starts next year.
Final question here, Braden Gall of Athlon Sports, ESPN Radio, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. As we turn the page from SEC to ACC Media Days, which starts tomorrow, just kind of a general question. What do you see as the lead story out of ACC Media Days there in Charlotte?
I hope it's not lawsuits. I mean, I hope it's not like, you know, hey, what state is this lawsuit being filed in? And I mean, the truth of the matter is that North Carolina is the big prize. For all the chatter around other programs and other places, Florida State, Clemson, they're the ones filing the original lawsuits, et cetera. North Carolina is the top prize in the next round of realignment. And they're going to go to either the Big Ten or the SEC, and it could happen in 2028 or 2030 or 2032. We don't know. That's up to lawyers to decide. But North Carolina is the one that is going to decide all this. And they're the one that everybody wants. And so does that mean they come with Duke? Does that mean they bring NC State with them? Does that mean Virginia goes to the Big Ten? Like, what's the domino effect after that? I don't expect we get any clarity on that particular issue at ACC Media Days. I think there's going to be a lot of questions of coaches and athletic directors and conference commissioners about the stability of the conference and the grant of rights and all this legal mumbo jumbo. At the end of the day, there's actually a pretty interesting and healthy top tier in the conference. It's not anywhere close to the Big Ten or the SEC, but Florida State, Clemson, Miami, you know, I would put Virginia Tech and Louisville and NC State. Those are all really interesting teams. Like, their top six is really interesting. None of them are maybe even as good as like fifth place in the SEC or fifth place in the Big Ten, but that's going to get lost, I think, with all the other stuff. Like, oh, this judge is filing that this lawsuit can be filed in this state, and this judge says this. And so I think there's going to be a lot of legal mumbo jumbo that comes out of this conference. I hope that we are a little bit more focused on like what I would call the healthy middle class in this conference, which again, I think Louisville with Jeff Brohm, if Tyler Shuck stays healthy, they're going to be really, really good. Virginia Tech is significantly improved from last year. Even Georgia Tech is interesting. So there's just good stuff to be interested in. Miami is a fascinating story because I think their roster is the best in the conference, and they have maybe a top 15 team in America, but I don't trust their coaching staff to maximize it at all. So there's intrigue in the top half of this league, but I don't think I'll hold off and say I'm curious to see if the football outweighs like the court cases, and that'll be maybe that's the story in the ACC is can people actually focus on the football? Is it interesting enough to take people's attention away from the fact that this league is crumbling over the next 7 to 8 years and that teams don't want to be there anymore? Like, I don't know how you take the focus off of that.
Braden, I know it's been a busy time covering all these media days. I think we're all ready to be busy just about only on Saturdays, if you catch my drift. But appreciate you joining me. Always great catching up.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing going on right now. Nothing happening.
There you go. There he is, Braden Gall, there of Athlon Sports. Been knowing Braden for a long, long time. Always a pleasure to hear his thoughts on the world of college football. All right, when we come back, the NFL. The offseason feels like it's coming to a wrap as training camp gets going. So, what were the offseason storylines? 5 under covered and 5 overblown storylines. According to Eric Edholm, who's been on this station many a time. Let's see if we agree on the other side. It's the Abe TL Show live from the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon here till from 2 to 5 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is the Abe TL with Abe Gordon.
Any more questions?
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back into the Abe TL Show. Here till 5 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's decently nice right now. I know there's rain coming and all that stuff. Got lazy this morning because there was still rain in the area. Didn't run. It's been a rough go for the starting to build towards that half marathon crowd of one that I am partaking in. I did get a run in on Saturday, but only 3 miles, and need to find some time to get a long run in. And slacking. I'm using every excuse in the book. Mostly just that it was raining. So we'll get there. We'll get there. Again, it is Falcons training camp coming up in about 35 minutes or so. Going to break down Falcons training camp. Going to kind of preview what I'll be looking for. But I just put this on Twitter as well. I'm interested in what you want us to look for. Again, without fans in attendance this year, it's going to be more important than ever that we make sure to focus on what you guys want to know about training camp and what's going on there. So I got a list of things I'm going to be looking for, but I am going to want your input as well. And so we will be taking calls in a little bit about Falcons training camp and what you want us to keep an eye on while we are out there. Again, a lot of us are going to have the majority of the same thing. So I'm going to go through my list at 3:20, and then we'll take your calls and see maybe a couple things not on my list that you want us to keep an eye out for. And they won't like it, but I'll make sure Andy and Randy hear your suggestions. They'll probably ignore it because they ignore everything coming from me, but the message will be delivered. And certainly we'll try and keep an eye and do our best to report back throughout the course of training camp. Eric Edholm, a columnist for NFL.com, penned a article a couple of weeks ago about 5 overblown and undercovered storylines throughout the course of the NFL offseason. I want to run through some of these, and I guess I'll start with the overblown storylines in which he detailed, and one of these is Atlanta Falcons-centric, but of the 5 storylines he thinks are getting too much coverage or too much discussion, one of them is the Falcons quarterback situation. And it seems like there's been a lot less of this recently, especially as we are on the precipice of Falcons training camp. But like the idea that Kirk Cousins will be thrown off or bothered by the presence of Michael Penix, I think Eric Edholm is not buying into that. You could point to Kirk Cousins being a longtime NFL veteran, a professional at the level of which he's performed. He views it as not much of a storyline beyond the fact that the Falcons now have multiple capable quarterbacks, which certainly has not been the case in recent years. Eric Edholm also said, instant success for Caleb Williams has been an overblown storyline. You look at the rookie quarterbacks of the past 10 years, it has been relatively muted success. I'm not sold on this one. I might disagree with him there. And I think a lot of the issues in regards to rookie quarterbacks and the success they do or don't have is about the talent around them. This is not a rookie quarterback with their own pick. This is a rookie quarterback with another team's pick. Caleb Williams comes there via the Panthers pick. And I don't know. Like, we saw C.J. Stroud do it last year. I would expect, I really do, if Caleb Williams is legit, and that's its own question, but if he's legit, they have talent around him. So I do have high expectations. The Bills unloading of veterans. The offensive line, defensive line is still strong. You still have Josh Allen. And you have a bunch of young upside wide receivers. You don't have Stephon Diggs. You don't have Gabe Davis. But year in, year out, you see receivers step up into those roles. So that one from Eric Edholm is overblown. Wide receiver panic for the Chargers, he says, is being a bit overblown. He'd like to see it play out with Jim Harbaugh. And they added 7 wide receivers, by the way. You got Palmer, Josh Palmer. You got Quentin Johnston. And then 7 more have been added. So there's a lot of guys. And again, just like the Bills, someone's going to step up. And we are a little slow to come around on Quentin Johnston, but maybe this is the year he kind of breaks out. And then speaking of C.J. Stroud from a moment ago, one of the last overblown storyline that Eric Edholm had singled out here is the Texans as Super Bowl contenders. And I was thinking about this the other day as well. You got a couple things. I do think the AFC South has gotten much better. I think specifically the Tennessee Titans have improved with what they've decided to do in the offseason. It's still going to come down to the quarterback there. We'll see what's going on with the Colts. I don't know how good they're going to be, but they certainly need Anthony Richardson to be able to play a full season. So we'll see what goes on there as well. But Edholm says it's a tough schedule for the Texans. And then you can progress as a organization, as a franchise, as a team, and not have that result in wins. And I think that's part of what he is expecting as well. And I'll be honest, I thought they were way out ahead of where they were supposed to be a year ago. I do think they overachieved. Anytime you see a team overachieved, I think regressing to maybe a level of expected achievement is allowed, is acceptable. And I'm not saying that they should be happy if they go 500, but I don't think they need to necessarily be the one seed and Super Bowl favorites heading into the playoffs. I think their window's just opening, and so I don't think you need to rush or panic if they don't, you know, hit their stride, reach a peak in this second year for C.J. Stroud. All right, those are 5 overblown storylines. I almost find more interesting the 5 undercovered storylines. And again, this is Eric Edholm of NFL.com. He's been a guest of mine. He's been a guest of Chris's. He's been on Dukes and Bell. He's been on the air for a couple of times here on 92.9 The Game. Always appreciate his coverage. And I always find his thought process interesting. So one of the storylines he thought deserved more attention. And again, this article was written a couple of weeks ago. And so this is one that has started to ramp up the attention quite a bit. And that is Tua the next $50 million quarterback? And as camp is coming around and as we've seen a couple other quarterbacks sign their deals and the discussion as players start to have media availability more, the discussion about Tua has ramped up. So I wouldn't say at this stage it's undercovered, but probably a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was. But look, Tua is a guy that did play all 18 games last year. The question for the Dolphins is, can they afford not to? Like, that's going to be the question that the 49ers are going to have to run into with Brock Purdy as well, is are you going to start over at quarterback when you're in this window? And don't get it twisted. Like, the Dolphins are in a window. Do they need to toughen up and shore up a couple aspects of their game? Absolutely. But this is a window based on who they have and the contracts at play. And so I don't know if you can afford to try and just start over at quarterback there. The Raiders quarterback situation is another storyline that maybe deserved a little bit more attention. Yo, like, that's what we're doing? You have one of the best receivers in the NFL in Devontae Adams. We're all talking about the potential of him being traded, but we're also talking about the potential of Brandon Ayuk being traded to the Raiders. Like, you don't make that trade for Brandon Ayuk to run alongside Devontae Adams and then use Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell as your quarterback. Like, when you're in a situation where none of your quarterbacks are long-term plans, which, quite frankly, was kind of the situation the Falcons were in last year, although we hadn't quite necessarily discovered it in regard to Ridder, but it became very obvious. You're in no man's land. You cannot go for it when you're in no man's land. Unless one of us thinks that Aiden O'Connell is going to turn into Brock Purdy, you can't go for it. And so it's very tough to see the Raiders as a franchise moving forward right now. They've got to get that position settled. Daniel Jones and Drew Lock. Daniel Jones is still going to be injured to some extent, and there's some questions about if he'll be ready for week one. And if that's the case, is Drew Lock going to be QB1 there for the Giants? And if so, for how long? Is that something he could hold all season? Is that something that when Daniel Jones is ready, that he's going to retake that job? It's going to be real interesting to see how that quarterback situation works. The Giants made a mistake. And when we talk about a big deal for Jordan Love, when we talk about a big deal for Tua, every example that I give you for are you sure you want to do that is going to be Daniel Jones. You cannot get put into quarterback purgatory, cap space hell, with a guy you can't win with. And so anytime you're looking at the quarterback extension game, you better be darn sure it's a guy you can win with. And look, the Titans might have to figure that out this year if Will Levis plays. The Cardinals have kind of already maybe admitted a mistake in regards to their Dak Prescott. I think you can win with him, but if the Cowboys aren't sure, what you can't do is devote $55 million to a guy that's going to have you out of the playoffs the next 3 years. And that's what Daniel Jones, unfortunately, has become. Anthony Richardson, I just kind of talked about that loosely when we were talking about the Texans. Like, can he survive the season? People went way overboard with how good Anthony Richardson was playing last year. Like, I don't know. I didn't see anywhere near enough to declare him any sort of revelation. What'd he play, like four games? Like, he's got to make it through the season. He's got to be an impact there because that is a very – that's not viewed as a great division historically. I think right now it's a pretty darn good division. I think you have three teams I absolutely could argue can win that division in the Texans, Titans, and Jaguars, and then a question mark with the Colts. Maybe they could, maybe not. I'm not sure. And then the last undercovered NFL storyline, according to Eric Edholm, and I'm in full agreement on this, and this is one of the things you talk about, and we're going to get to it in 25 minutes when we get into the Falcons training camp preview. You talk about something that I still don't think has been discussed enough. It's the new kickoff rules and the impact that they're going to have on games. I mean, I am really, really excited to see how the Falcons, among other teams, approach it and address it. So that's something we'll be looking for at training camp for sure. All right, that is it. Your five overblown and undercovered storylines of the NFL offseason. And again, the NFL offseason just about wrapped up because, in my opinion, training camp is here, and that's not offseason action. That's gearing up for the real deal. So we will talk about that a lot more. Again, in about 25 minutes, my training camp preview. And I want to get, again, your suggestions, your thoughts on what you want us to look out for while we are covering the practices. But before we do that, going to bring Caleb Johnson into the program here on the other side to kick off the 3 o'clock hour. Caleb was in Vegas, maybe placing Falcons bets, but certainly watching the Atlanta Hawks Summer League. Got a couple of questions about that. and the rest of the offseason for the Hawks on the other side. Coming your way in about 5 minutes, Caleb Johnson, 92.9 The Game, Hawks beat reporter, right here on the Abe TL Show on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
This is the Abe TL with Abe Gordon.
Any more questions?
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back into the Abe TL Show. Here till 5 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's decently nice right now. I know there's rain coming and all that stuff. Got lazy this morning because there was still rain in the area. Didn't run. It's been a rough go for the starting to build towards that half marathon crowd of one that I am partaking in. I did get a run in on Saturday, but only 3 miles, and need to find some time to get a long run in. And slacking. I'm using every excuse in the book. Mostly just that it was raining. So we'll get there. We'll get there. Again, it is Falcons training camp coming up in about 35 minutes or so. Going to break down Falcons training camp. Going to kind of preview what I'll be looking for. But I just put this on Twitter as well. I'm interested in what you want us to look for. Again, without fans in attendance this year, it's going to be more important than ever that we make sure to focus on what you guys want to know about training camp and what's going on there. So I got a list of things I'm going to be looking for, but I am going to want your input as well. And so we will be taking calls in a little bit about Falcons training camp and what you want us to keep an eye on while we are out there. Again, a lot of us are going to have the majority of the same thing. So I'm going to go through my list at 3:20, and then we'll take your calls and see maybe a couple things not on my list that you want us to keep an eye out for. And they won't like it, but I'll make sure Andy and Randy hear your suggestions. They'll probably ignore it because they ignore everything coming from me, but the message will be delivered. And certainly we'll try and keep an eye and do our best to report back throughout the course of training camp. Eric Edholm, a columnist for NFL.com, penned a article a couple of weeks ago about 5 overblown and undercovered storylines throughout the course of the NFL offseason. I want to run through some of these, and I guess I'll start with the overblown storylines in which he detailed, and one of these is Atlanta Falcons-centric, but of the 5 storylines he thinks are getting too much coverage or too much discussion, one of them is the Falcons quarterback situation. And it seems like there's been a lot less of this recently, especially as we are on the precipice of Falcons training camp. But like the idea that Kirk Cousins will be thrown off or bothered by the presence of Michael Penix, I think Eric Edholm is not buying into that. You could point to Kirk Cousins being a longtime NFL veteran, a professional at the level of which he's performed. He views it as not much of a storyline beyond the fact that the Falcons now have multiple capable quarterbacks, which certainly has not been the case in recent years. Eric Edholm also said, instant success for Caleb Williams has been an overblown storyline. You look at the rookie quarterbacks of the past 10 years, it has been relatively muted success. I'm not sold on this one. I might disagree with him there. And I think a lot of the issues in regards to rookie quarterbacks and the success they do or don't have is about the talent around them. This is not a rookie quarterback with their own pick. This is a rookie quarterback with another team's pick. Caleb Williams comes there via the Panthers pick. And I don't know. Like, we saw C.J. Stroud do it last year. I would expect, I really do, if Caleb Williams is legit, and that's its own question, but if he's legit, they have talent around him. So I do have high expectations. The Bills unloading of veterans. The offensive line, defensive line is still strong. You still have Josh Allen. And you have a bunch of young upside wide receivers. You don't have Stephon Diggs. You don't have Gabe Davis. But year in, year out, you see receivers step up into those roles. So that one from Eric Edholm is overblown. Wide receiver panic for the Chargers. he says is being a bit overblown. He'd like to see it play out with Jim Harbaugh. And they added 7 wide receivers, by the way. You got Josh Palmer, you got Quentin Johnston, and then 7 more have been added. So there's a lot of guys. And again, just like the Bills, someone's going to step up. And we are a little slow to come around on Quentin Johnston, but maybe this is the year he kind of breaks out. And then speaking of C.J. Stroud from a moment ago, one of the last overblown storyline that Eric Edholm had singled out here is the Texans as Super Bowl contenders. And I was thinking about this the other day as well. You got a couple things. I do think the AFC South has gotten much better. I think specifically the Tennessee Titans have improved with what they've decided to do in the offseason. It's still going to come down to the quarterback there. We'll see what's going on with the Colts. I don't know how good they're going to be, but they certainly need Anthony Richardson to be able to play a full season. So we'll see what goes on there as well. But Edholm says it's a tough schedule for the Texans. And then you can progress as a organization, as a franchise, as a team, and not have that result in wins. And I think that's part of what he is expecting as well. And I'll be honest, I thought they were way out ahead of where they were supposed to be a year ago. I do think they overachieved. Anytime you see a team overachieved, I think regressing to maybe a level of expected achievement is allowed, is acceptable. And I'm not saying that they should be happy if they go 500, but I don't think they need to necessarily be the one seed and Super Bowl favorites heading into the playoffs. I think their window is just opening, and so I don't think you need to rush or panic if they don't, you know, hit their stride, reach a peak in this second year for C.J. Stroud. All right, those are 5 overblown storylines. I almost find more interesting the 5 undercovered storylines. And again, this is Eric Edholm of NFL.com. He's been a guest of mine. He's been a guest of Chris's. He's been on Dukes and Bell. He's been on the air for a couple of times here on 92.9 The Game. Always appreciate his coverage. And I always find his thought process interesting. So one of the storylines he thought deserved more attention. And again, this article was written a couple of weeks ago. And so this is one that has started to ramp up the attention quite a bit. And that is Tua the next $50 million quarterback? And as camp is coming around and as we've seen a couple other quarterbacks sign their deals and the discussion as players start to have media availability more, the discussion about Tua has ramped up. So I wouldn't say at this stage it's undercovered, but probably a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was. But look, Tua is a guy that did play all 18 games last year. The question for the Dolphins is, can they afford not to? Like, that's going to be the question that the 49ers are going to have to run into with Brock Purdy as well, is are you going to start over at quarterback when you're in this window? And don't get it twisted. Like, the Dolphins are in a window. Do they need to toughen up and shore up a couple aspects of their game? Absolutely. But this is a window based on who they have and the contracts at play. And so I don't know if you can afford to try and just start over at quarterback there. The Raiders quarterback situation is another storyline that maybe deserved a little bit more attention. Yo, like, that's what we're doing? You have one of the best receivers in the NFL in Davante Adams. We're all talking about the potential of him being traded, but we're also talking about the potential of Brandon Ayuk being traded to the Raiders. Like, you don't make that trade for Brandon Ayuk to run alongside Davante Adams and then use Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell as your quarterback. Like, when you're in a situation where none of your quarterbacks are long-term plans, which, quite frankly, was kind of the situation the Falcons were in last year, although we hadn't quite necessarily discovered it in regard to Ridder, but it became very obvious. You're in no man's land. You cannot go for it when you're in no man's land. Unless one of us thinks that Aiden O'Connell is going to turn into Brock Purdy, you can't go for it. And so it's very tough to see the Raiders as a franchise moving forward right now. They've got to get that position settled. Daniel Jones and Drew Lock. Daniel Jones is still going to be injured to some extent. And there's some questions about if he'll be ready for week one. And if that's the case, is Drew Lock going to be QB1 there for the Giants? And if so, for how long? Is that something he could hold all season? Is that something that when Daniel Jones is ready, that he's going to retake that job? It's going to be real interesting to see how that quarterback situation works. The Giants made a mistake. And when we talk about a big deal for Jordan Love, when we talk about a big deal for Tua, every example that I give you for "are you sure you want to do that?" is going to be Daniel Jones. You cannot get put into quarterback purgatory, cap space hell, with a guy you can't win with. And so anytime you're looking at the quarterback extension game, you better be darn sure it's a guy you can win with. And look, the Titans might have to figure that out this year if Will Levis plays. The Cardinals have kind of already maybe admitted a mistake in regards to their Dak Prescott. I think you can win with him, but if the Cowboys aren't sure, what you can't do is devote $55 million to a guy that's going to have you out of the playoffs the next 3 years. And that's what Daniel Jones, unfortunately, has become. Anthony Richardson, I just kind of talked about that loosely when we were talking about the Texans. Like, can he survive the season? I look, people, in my opinion, people went way overboard with how good Anthony Richardson was playing last year. Like, I don't know. I didn't see anywhere near enough to declare him any sort of revelation. What did he play, like 4 games? Like, he's got to make it through the season. He's got to be an impact there because that is a very – that's not viewed as a great division historically. I think right now it's a pretty darn good division. I think you have 3 teams I absolutely could argue can win that division in the Texans, Titans, and Jaguars. And then a question mark with the Colts. Maybe they could, maybe not. I'm not sure. And then the last undercovered NFL storyline, according to Eric Edholm, and I'm in full agreement on this, and this is one of the things you talk about, and we're going to get to it in 25 minutes when we get into the Falcons training camp preview. You talk about something that I still don't think has been discussed enough. It's the new kickoff rules and the impact that they're going to have on games. I mean, I am really, really excited to see how the Falcons, among other teams, approach it and address it. So that's something we'll be looking for at training camp for sure. All right, that is it. Your 5 overblown and undercovered storylines of the NFL offseason. And again, the NFL offseason just about wrapped up because, in my opinion, training camp is here, and that's not offseason action. That's gearing up for the real deal. So we will talk about that a lot more. Again, in about 25 minutes, my training camp preview. And I want to get, again, your suggestions, your thoughts on what you want us to look out for while we are covering the practices. But before we do that, going to bring Caleb Johnson into the program here on the other side to kick off the 3 o'clock hour. Caleb was in Vegas, maybe placing Falcons bets, but certainly watching the Atlanta Hawks Summer League. Got a couple of questions about that and the rest of the offseason for the Hawks on the other side. Coming your way in about 5 minutes, Caleb Johnson, 92.9 The Game, Hawks beat reporter, right here on the Abe TL Show on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.